just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed.
Very well done, yet again. On a rainy morning across western Wisconsin, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. On our very first show, which was back on August 1st, we had Nancy Stensel on, and part of what she discussed with us was an ongoing attempt to move forward with a proposal for mining in a sensitive area near Wausau, a proposed copper and gold mining site. And so I wanted to go back and see how that has developed so far. I see an article here on Madison 365, from the wonderful Bob Chappell, who writes an article about how the legislature of the Ho-Chunk Nation has unanimously opposed the proposed mine, citing the environmental hazards and damage that could be done to sacred cultural sites. The proposal is coming from a Canadian mining company known as Greenlight Metals. It has an office in Medford and has secured a permit from the state DNR to do some exploratory drilling at something called the Reef Deposit. Now, it's estimated to hold almost 500,000 tons of gold reserves, but it's also near the dells of the Eau Claire County Park. And that is, like a lot of cases, you know, the reason that mineral deposits are where they are is because of the way the geography lines up, and the way the geography lines up leads then to some pretty sensitive areas. And probably, I'd say the last thing we want in northern Wisconsin is anything that could create some kind of an environmental disaster. And so the Ho-Chunk Nation legislative body held a hearing. It looks like they said it. Ryan Greendeer, public relations officer, said that representatives voted 12-0 to approve a resolution opposing the mine. He said there are several threats to the health of Mother Earth that arise from Greenlight, which affect the abilities to practice our culture, such as loss of traditional food resources and wildlife habitat, contamination of water, desecration of sacred sites, and several threats to the natural resources and the health, safety, and welfare of citizens and the community. And Nancy Stensel, who was on a couple of weeks back, recently gave an update to the Wausau Pilot and Review, and I wanted to read a bit from her update, saying that there was a presentation by Greenlight Metals on August 2nd to the Environmental Resources Committee of Marathon County. And she wanted to note for people that the Greenlight Metals Board of Directors is made up of the last mining company, Aquila. And she notes just because they have an office in Medford does not make them a Wisconsin-based company. When the mining moratorium was overturned in 2017, I add parenthetically, through the leadership of Tom Tiffany, it took away much of the local control of mining companies. Nancy notes the majority of the presentation was erroneous. Using the Flambeau mine near Ladysmith as an example, the presenters made it sound as though the federal lawsuit brought forth by plaintiffs looking to stop the mine had been nothing but a monetary settlement. But the plaintiffs were a pharmacist, a professor from the Wisconsin Resources Protection Council, somebody from the Center for Science and Public Participation, hardly a bunch of people out for a quick buck. And so the mining company, it says here, said that they would form an advisory council, but Greenlight Metals wanted to add a former Oneida County supervisor known as being extremely friendly to the mining company. And when it comes to the Flambeau mine, again, we don't know yet the level of damage that was done. Part of the reason for that is when that copper mining operation was started, there were no base measurements taken, or at least no key base measurements taken on things like groundwater quality. Now, there's been monitoring ever since. It's just that there's no baseline to compare it to from before the mine was opened. And so before any kind of mining operation has to be done, is ever allowed to be done again in Wisconsin, there are several things that need to be, you know, checked off a list someplace. One of them, of course, is get a massive bond from the mining company for when, not if, but when they go away and suddenly away goes the money to do any remediation and to do any cleanup, get that money up front. Why do I say that? Because they have it. And if you don't get it up front, you're not going to get it at all. And have them pay for a host of baseline data that, yes, would actually be used against them if their site pollutes the environment. But if you're claiming you can mine without polluting the environment, then you really don't have anything to be concerned about. Now, going back to Nancy Stensel's note, she told us here on the show that there are PFAS, industrial chemicals, in the drilling fluids that are used in much of the drilling industry. And the DNR, she says, was not able to confirm that anything has changed since then. Now, Colorado has just banned drilling fluids with PFAS, and that is certainly something that should be noted here as well. She says that there's already plenty of gold out there. There's no need to mine more. That's her view. I don't have the data in front of me. Copper can be easily recycled and cost effectively. So to the extent that the claim is made that we are strengthening domestic supply chains, I think that you can't just say that that's going to be the case. I think they have a case to make in terms of what will we get out of this? What will it add to the supply chain? And then most importantly, will it be worth the cost? Yes, there's a lot of mining that's done around the world, in places like China and Peru. And yes, that means we have to get those materials from elsewhere. It also means we don't have to put up with the ecological disasters that are happening over there. They should be doing a better job. And again, if these minerals are so necessary, and they are, then the creativity that is the human race needs to do a better job of finding ways to extract these metals. And yeah, if it costs more, it costs more. They're just that valuable. But to do so in a way that does not basically ring a bell that you can't unring. As Nancy concludes, it seems like there is a community in our state anymore that does not suffer some type of water woes. We need to stop this before we are next. I believe clean water is a right. It's about our health and our environment. Our life depends on clean water. And Nancy couldn't have hit the nail on the head any more than that. So I wanted to thank her for that update, and certainly we'll have her back. And if somebody from Greenlight Metals would like to talk to us about the proposal as well, we would certainly like to hear about it. If you missed it in the last hour, I'm happy to, start telling you how disappointed we are in the Brewers once again, losing 2-1, wasting a good pitching effort. They will play again at 1:15, I believe, or 1:10 rather, on Bally Sports. So Luke will see none of this, apparently. You will see the game, however. You will see the game because, as I'm always quick to mention, being as close to Target Field as I am here on the western side of the state, we were smart enough to put a roof on our baseball stadium. So even if it rains in Milwaukee, the game will go on. I will never understand the decision to build Target Field wide open the way that they did.
Yeah, for baseball that far north, I feel like it kind of just makes sense. I guess Fenway kind of gets a little bit of a pass just because of how historic it is.
It's 1912. Yeah. You weren't expected to put a roof on in 1912. Yeah, welcome to the 21st century, architects, yes. Politicians.
But I'm one for baseball. It makes sense to put a roof on because you can't really any seasonal weather you get or seasonable weather in this instance. I guess
we'll go seasonable.
Weather could throw off a game. But I am a huge I don't think the U.S. Bank Stadium it's gorgeous. But playing indoor football,
I think it
looks really nice. It looks really slick.
Looks like one of those ceramic paperweights that your grandma made in some kind of continuing education class and gave it to you for your birthday. And you said, really, what's a paperweight? What am I going to do with this? And there it is, sitting in the middle of the downtown skyline.
That's the roof that I don't know if I've seen the skyline since it's been up, though. It's been a little while since I've been up to the Twin Cities. So but it looks gorgeous from all the shots when you see like Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football there. But I believe playing football outdoors in the NFC North in winter,
it should be totally that way. Yeah. It should be totally reversed. You know, the Vikings, like the Packers, should be playing outdoors. And again, when we talk about baseball under a roof, I always want to emphasize, we're talking retractable roof.
Yeah.
The technology is there now. You do not want to play in that tin can known as Tropicana Field, which should be demolished with the architects inside who decided to build that abomination in St. Peter's.
You can get a really cool retractable roof for all stadiums now. Like, I believe Atlanta's football stadium, the new Mercedes-Benz Dome, I believe is who sponsors Atlanta's. They have like this, it like opens up like an octagon and then it kind of closes kind of like a camera lens. And it's really cool.
And look, if you're saying, oh, but that adds so much to the cost. Have you looked at sports salaries lately? It's already there. We just talked about the Big Ten getting $1 billion a year.
It was weird because SoFi has like a it doesn't classify the new stadium in LA that the Rams and Chargers use. Doesn't technically classify as an indoor stadium because when lightning happens, they still have lightning delays, even though it's completely covered. It's the way it's like a see-through roof that it's more awnings and stuff, I guess, than actual like construction materials that are would be classified as a roof. And so lightning delays still happen at SoFi Field, even though it's like a $1.5 billion new stadium. You can't play. See,
but
lightning's
I get
there.
That. And I get that. And again, I'm not saying that there shouldn't ever be. You can't build something to be, you know, just completely impervious to weather. Whether it's a a severe thunderstorm going through, lightning in the area. But for something like what I'm experiencing right now in Chippewa Falls, you know, which is a heavy but passing rainstorm, you don't have to drag the tarp out and delay the game and stand around and wonder why the hell did they stop selling beer in the seventh inning? It's in the eighth and I just want this game to finish up. You don't have that when you build it right the first time. Then once you do, and these are beautiful places. Target Field is lovely. It's just missing the roof. You have these things that are basically modern day Disneylands, you know, with all of the various amenities, things that you can, if you have the bucks, bring the whole family to, or just go see the game on your own. The money is there, but you lose money when somebody and when a family travels, 3 hours, 4 hours. To see their heroes play a game, and then you have a basic rainout in this day and age. There's something wrong about it, because once you don't have to complain about the weather anymore, you can get back to what really matters, and that's complaining about the quality of play on the field, which is what I was about to do with the Brewers until we got off on this whole tangent about how much it's terrible in Minnesota that they don't have one. So enjoy the rain for a little bit longer, you in Western Wisconsin, and we'll talk more on the other side of the break. You're up, North.